When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Welcome to the Tech Sheet, the name that I give to special bonus episodes which explain the tech behind EVs. You'll have seen in your podcast feed some bonus shows, the other ones I'm going to call the Spec Sheet, where we look at the specifications of a new electric vehicle. Well, today I'm going to ask the question why the car industry still has 12-volt batteries in cutting-edge EVs. And we might make this a two-parter, actually. There's a lot to get into. Because Tesla's trying to move the industry forward once again, as they've done many times in the past, but at the moment, well, the industry isn't biting on this one. Despite the advances in electric vehicle technology, from massive lithium-ion battery packs to sophisticated power management systems, virtually every modern electric vehicle still carries what appears to be an automotive relic from the past, the humble 12-volt lead-acid battery. This seemingly anachronistic component, dating back to automotive conventions of the past back in the 1950s, continues to play a critical role in even the most advanced electric vehicles. The persistence of 12-volt systems in cutting-edge EVs represents a fascinating intersection of legacy engineering, practical necessity, safety requirements, and economic considerations that have proven remarkably resistant to any kind of disruption. The recent introduction of Tesla's Cybertruck, with its groundbreaking 48-volt electrical architecture, reignited the industry discussions about whether the time has finally come to abandon the old 12-volt and make all new electric vehicles on 48 volts. They even shared their own 48-volt implementation documentation with other car makers. It's created opportunity, but also controversy, raising fundamental questions about the future of electrical systems in EVs. Yet, 2 years after the Cybertruck's launch, the EV industry has largely remained committed to the good old faithful 12-volt, revealing deep-seated challenges that extend far beyond simple technical preferences. Hey, a reminder, our bonus shows are exclusively for our Patreon supporters. For the first 7 days, only Patreon insiders get early access. They get their name on the list of legends for exec producers and above, and the power to shape future shows. If being in the know and recognised as a supporter sounds like something you'd be up for, check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. No pressure, though, because in 7 days' time, all of the exclusive shows go onto the free feed. So you can just wait. Let's get into it. The history of the 12 volt doesn't start there, actually. It starts even lower. The story of automotive electrical systems begins not with the 12-volt battery, but with an even lower voltage standard that dominated the industry for over three decades. From the 1920s through to the early 1950s, most automobiles operated on a 6-volt electrical system. The voltage level was perfectly adequate for the limited electrical demands of early automobiles, which required power primarily for basic lighting, ignition, and accessories. The 6-volt standard emerged organically during the automotive industry's formative years, when vehicles were mechanically simple and their electrical needs were minimal. The transition from non-electrical to electrical systems represented a big advancement in automotive technology. Early cars had hand crank starters, acetylene gas lighting, and purely mechanical operation. The introduction of the electric starter, that was in 1912, pioneered by Charles Kettering and Henry M. Leyland at Cadillac, created the first compelling need for onboard electrical power storage. This innovation eliminated the dangerous and laborious hand crank starting process that had resulted in injuries and even fatalities when engines backfired during starting attempts. Battery technology during this period was obviously primitive by modern standards. The lead-acid battery, invented by the French physicist Gaston Planté in 1859, provided the foundational chemistry that would remain largely unchanged for over a century. These early automotive batteries were heavy. They needed regular maintenance. They had limited capacity. However, they offered an advantage of being rechargeable, unlike the primary cells that had been used in earlier electrical applications. So when do we go to 12 volts? Well, the shift from 6 to 12 volts represents one of the most significant standardization changes in the automotive industry, occurring primarily between about 1953 and 1956. General Motors led the transition, introducing 12-volt systems on premium models like the Cadillac, the Oldsmobile, and Buick Roadmaster in 1953. The changeover was not arbitrary, but driven by compelling technical and economic factors that made higher voltage systems increasingly necessary. So how do we get to where we are today? Well, the primary catalyst for 12 volts was the growing electrical demands of more sophisticated cars. Post-war automobiles featured larger, higher compression engines that required a more powerful starting system. 6-volt systems were reaching their limits in providing adequate cranking power for modern engines, and vehicles were becoming more electrically complex with improved lighting, radios, heaters, and accessories that demanded greater power delivery. The physics underlying the transition reveal the fundamental advantages of higher voltage systems, one in which Tesla talked often about. According to Ohm's law, for any given power requirement, doubling the voltage halves the current. Now, this relationship has profound implications for wiring size, component design, and system efficiency. You see, at 12 volts, the same electrical power could be delivered using thinner, lighter, and less expensive copper wiring. This reduction in copper requirements was particularly significant in the 1950s. Copper prices were rising and automotive manufacturers looking for new ways to reduce material costs and improve performance. By 1955, all General Motors vehicles had moved to 12-volt systems, and other American automakers were done by about 1956. This immensely rapid industry-wide change demonstrates the compelling advantage of high-voltage systems. However, some manufacturers, particularly in Europe, maintained 6 volts for a bit longer. Volkswagen, for instance, didn't go 12 volts completely until 1967 for some of their models, reflecting market conditions and vehicle requirements. The success of the good old reliable 12 volt might suggest that further voltage increases would be logical. How did we do that in 1955 and in 2025 be using essentially the same technology? Well, during the 1990s, We tried to change it. There was a consortium of automotive makers and suppliers which tried to go 42 volt, just like Tesla is trying to get the industry to go 48 volt now. This initiative recognised that modern vehicles were straining the capacity of 12 volt systems, particularly as they incorporated more sophisticated electronics, larger power steering, and increasing numbers of electrical accessories. The proposed 42 volt system promised many of the same advantages that drove 6 to 12 volts transition: reduced current requirements, smaller gauge wires, improved efficiency, and better performance for high power components. However, unlike the earlier transition, the 42 volt initiative failed to gain industry-wide acceptance and was abandoned completely by 2009. Several factors contributed to the failure. Well, the automotive supply chain had become more complex and established around 12-volt components by the 1990s. Unlike the 1950s, I mean, the car industry was pretty vertically integrated at the time. Component suppliers were fewer. By the 1990s, the ecosystem had thousands of specialized suppliers, each with significant investments in their 12-volt manufacturing. The cost and complexity of transitioning an entire ecosystem was just prohibitive without any kind of clear and compelling advantage that easily outweighed the transition costs. So where do we go then to 2025? Well, advances in power electronics, more efficient motors, improved control systems were all enabling manufacturers to get more performance from the humble 12-volt system that had been previously possible. These tech improvements reduce the urgency for any kind of voltage system change, allowing manufacturers to delay the expensive and complex transition to running higher voltage. So why is 12 volts so essential when you say, well, I'm riding in an EV that's got a 400, 800, 9, I mean in China, 1,000 volt traction battery underneath me that could be 80, 100, 200 kilowatt hours? And you're putting a small 12-volt battery in the front or somewhere of my car, which can go flat. And gosh, mine did twice in my Hyundai Kona that I owned for the year that I had it. And boy, was that inconvenient, and I was cursing the 12-volt. Modern EVs operate with a really fascinating dual-voltage architecture that probably seems counterintuitive to the casual observer. While the propulsion system relies on high-voltage battery packs, from 400 to 800 volts. Typically, virtually every EV has a separate 12-volt system for auxiliary functions. This architectural design reflects careful engineering considerations that balance performance, safety, cost, and practicality. The fundamental reason for still sticking a 12-volt in your EV is the enormous voltage gap between high-voltage propulsion and the voltage requirements of everything else that runs in the car. Direct connection of accessories like your interior lighting, the radio, or even your power windows to a 400-volt supply creates a really severe safety hazard, requires completely different component design, and it only takes one thing to go wrong for you to touch something that is live, and that's a really bad day for you. A 12-volt system provides familiar, safe, tested, cost-effective platforms for powering the hundreds of electrical components inside a modern EV. This dual-voltage approach allows EV makers to leverage the extensive ecosystem of 12-volt automotive supply chains developed over decades. The door locks, the window motors, the seat adjusters, the lighting, the infotainment, countless other things that electrical things do for you in your EV can be integrated quickly, cheaply, with no modification. This compatibility represents enormous cost savings and reduced development time compared to doing, well, what they did for the Cybertruck and designing entirely new component families for different voltage levels. The 12-volt battery in an EV is critical, as I alluded to a moment ago with my problems with my Hyundai, and you can't easily replicate that by the high-voltage system. Perhaps most importantly, your little humble 12-volt battery provides power for the vehicle to even start up and shut down. When an EV is technically turned on, what happens is the 12-volt system energizes the vehicle's electronic control units, the brains, the dashboard displays, the diagnostic systems, And all of that happens before your high-voltage battery pack is even activated. This staging process ensures safe and controlled initialization of your vehicle. One of the most crucial roles in your 12-volt battery is operating the contactors. Now, these contactors connect and disconnect the high-voltage battery from the rest of the vehicle. These heavy-duty electromechanical switches require a 12-volt power supply to close, effectively enabling the traction battery to come alive. Without a functioning 12-volt, even an EV with a fully charged high-voltage battery is effectively dead. It's immobilized. This dependency explains why a dead 12-volt battery is one of the most common causes of an EV breakdown, despite the propulsion battery being fully charged. And yes, like I say, twice I had to get the emergency key out of the key fob on my Kona, let myself in, pop the bonnet, and very simply just attach a little battery booster pack that I had. One time I did jump leads, and then one time I had a little battery pack that I just attached. Just enough to spark the Kona back into life, pardon the pun. Now, I don't know if they've fully got the handle on top of all the Hyundai Kia 12-volt gremlins that I see in the forums. But it was an instant fix, and all of a sudden the car came back to life. Now, in theory, that should never have happened. In theory, if the 12-volt got low, the car should wake itself up and recharge the 12-volt with a step-down converter from the traction battery. That was clearly not happening. The 12-volt also does essential safety, particularly during emergency situations. In the event of a high-voltage system failure or an accident, the 12-volt battery ensures that critical safety systems are operational, like hazard lights, emergency comm systems, door locks even. This redundancy is mandated by safety regs many places around the world and provides crucial backup power when there is an issue with the traction battery. Beyond emergency functions, the 12-volt system powers a vast array of the comfort and convenience features that you interact with daily. These include anything from the squirter on your windscreen wiper to the mirror positioning, the climate control fans. Look, it's everything, isn't it? It's the charging ports for your phones. And they seem minor, don't they? But all of them rely on that old-fashioned technology. So, the charging and maintenance of a 12-volt in an EV involves a really sophisticated power management system that differs significantly from traditional combustion cars. So, for most of us that spent our lifetime driving non-EVs, there is an alternator. It's an engine-driven alternator. Whenever I've seen perhaps my wife parked up for, you know, a long time in our old cars with the air conditioning on and things like that, I've said, hey, just start the engine for a bit and make sure the battery doesn't go flat. EVs, on the other hand, use DC-DC converters. They step down high voltage power and charge the 12-volt battery. These electronic systems are way more complex than mechanical alternators, but offer greater precision and efficiency in power conversion. DC-DC converters operate continuously while the vehicle is in use, maintaining the 12-volt battery at optimal charge levels, which, let's face it, is probably about 14 or 14.2 volts when it's all up and running. The 12-volt battery is rarely at 12 volts, but that's not really for this podcast. When the EV is plugged in for charging, many systems also activate DC-DC converters to maintain the 12-volt battery, ensuring it remains healthy during extended periods if your vehicle is not driven. Modern EVs also incorporate intelligent BMSs, battery management systems, that monitor the 12 volts in a way more accurate way than combustion cars do. And if the 12 volts charge is dropping, things like parasitic loads, those are security systems, that is telematics, always on functions. You'd want to be able to open up the app on your car, on your phone, and look at your car. You want your car to always be alive in many ways. Unlock it, lock it, turn the heating and cooling on. Then, in that case, even when the car's empty, the DC, and it's not plugged in, DC-DC converter kicks in and restores the power levels. This proactive management prevents a dead battery in situations that are common in either the really early EV designs or, like I say, they've struggled, haven't they? Yes, I'll be careful what I say. They have lots of money and expensive lawyers, but yeah, let's take a break and I'll have a slurp of this coffee. We'll come back and we'll finish off part one. Yeah, this is going to be a two-parter. Because what am I at? 17 minutes? Yeah, this is a two-parter. We'll do part two tomorrow, but I'll come back and I'll do the second half of part one in just a moment. Stick around, back in a moment.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Welcome back to the podcast. So we're talking about why EVs don't just go 48 volt, because Tesla say this is the way forward for the industry. The industry respectfully disagrees. So this is why it's not an easy fix or the work of a moment. The 12-volt wiring system in modern EVs is one of the most complex electrical networks in consumer products. There's literally hundreds of wiring circuits. There's thousands of connections and sophisticated control modules managing everything inside the car. Detailed wiring harness layouts in a vehicle chassis illustrate electrical system complexity in modern electric vehicles when you see them. Understanding the architecture is really crucial for appreciating why the auto industry has maintained 12-volt standards despite better alternatives, according to some. Modern 12-volt systems extend far beyond a point-to-point wiring system that, well, was found in early vehicles. Contemporary designs include network architectures, multiple ECUs, electronic control units. They all talk through mostly standardized protocols, things like CAN buses, which are controller area networks, CAN, CAN bus systems. These networks allow an individual component to then share information or coordinate operations, enabling things like automatic headlight activation when the sensor says it's getting dark, the windscreen wipers working when it says the windscreen's wet, although Tesla does that with cameras, debatably, and integrated climate control systems as well. The implementation of 12-volt systems involves really extensive wiring harnesses that snake throughout a vehicle structure, connecting components from the engine compartment to the passenger cabin, to the cargo area, to the external lighting. These wiring harnesses are designed to withstand extreme temperature variations, vibration, moisture exposure, electromagnetic interference, and they maintain reliable electrical connections for the life of the vehicle, at least in theory. The complexity of routing these harnesses through modern vehicle structures, which must accommodate safety systems, comfort features, manufacturing constraints, represents one of the most significant engineering challenges that's never talked about. In fact, when I sold my MG ZS EV and it came to give it the once-over, the rear high-level brake light wasn't working. And it's simply because the action of opening the boot and closing the boot, that was a 3-year-old or 4-year-old MG. The cables had just worn and worn through. And of course, MG dealt with that through the warranty really quickly, I think mostly quickly, and fixed it and fixed the wiring in that area, all completely under warranty, no questions asked. Because, yeah, within 3 or 4 years, you should be able to open the boot and for the wiring loom not to perish. It's difficult stuff. The scope of systems controlled by 12-volt power in modern vehicles is comprehensive, encompassing every aspect of the vehicle operation, literally apart from propulsion. That's how important it is. In terms of climate control, the fan, the actuator, the control electronics that manage the temperature, the humidity, the air distribution. Modern HVAC systems have multiple zones, automatic control, air quality sensors, an integration with other vehicle systems to optimize comfort, and in some cases then minimize energy consumption of the traction battery. Just that one system alone is fabulously complicated. Safety systems as well have been transformed over the last couple of decades, and they're all critically dependent on the 12-volt systems. Airbags, seatbelt pretensioners, stability control, anti-lock brake systems, advanced drive resistance features. Yep, they all rely on that little humble 12-volt. These systems must operate with absolute reliability and require backup power systems to ensure functionality. The integration of these systems with other functions as well means they all have to communicate and talk. There has to be redundancy. Infotainment and communications, another really big one as well. EVs these days all come with massive multiple touchscreen displays, navigation systems. They're all wirelessly connected. Smartphones are integrated. They've all got premium audio systems. They must all be responsive and reliable. We expect them to work just all of the time. And all of those parts are designed from suppliers and supply chains and manufacturers on a 12-volt basis. The maintenance and service of 12-volt systems in modern vehicles requires specialized knowledge and equipment reflecting the increasing complexity of these electrical networks. Unlike earlier vehicles where electrical problems could often be diagnosed, you know, back in the day, if there was a problem, crack out your simple multimeter. Modern 12-volt systems are not quite the same. Sophisticated diagnostic equipment capable of communicating with various ECUs and interpreting very complex fault codes are needed just to find where the cable is broken. The manufacturing of 12-volt wiring harnesses represents a huge portion of not only vehicle assembly but cost as well. These harnesses must be designed for a specific vehicle model, incorporating precise routing, precise connector specs, integration with the other systems in the vehicle. The assembly process requires careful attention to quality, protection from environmental factors, and changes to 12-volt system architecture would require extensive re-engineering of these manufacturing processes, contributing to the industry's reluctance to abandon proven designs. So we're asking, this seems really old technology, why don't we just change? I think I've probably spelled out a couple of reasons. The persistence of 12-volt in the automotive industry represents one of the most entrenched industrial ecosystems in manufacturing, involving thousands of suppliers, billions of dollars in infrastructure, and decades of experience. The ecosystem extends far beyond automotive manufacturers. It goes to the batteries, the wiring, the cabling, the connectors, the semiconductors, and everyone else that makes 12-volt stuff. Economies of scale are staggering. Global automotive suppliers have invested hundreds of billions of dollars over time, cumulatively, in 12-volt manufacturing, R&D, production facilities. Bosch, Varta, Johnson, they've all established worldwide production networks. And they make millions of 12-volt batteries a year. And supply chains are all optimized for the specific chemistries, sizes, and performances. Component suppliers have developed comprehensive product lines all around 12 volts, whether it is as simple as saying we're going to design a new EV. So let's get the catalogue out, and what are we going to buy from our suppliers? I mean, it's not a catalogue, is it? It's online. But you know what I mean? And they go on, so we're going to need a power steering system, we're going to need some electric motors for the windows and this and that. Well, good luck finding stuff that's not 12 volt. So your hands are tied, even if you are an EV maker that wants to move forward. Relays, like a simple relay, a switch. These suppliers compete intensively on, well, price, obviously, quality and performance, and they're all 12-volt, driving continuous improvements and cost reductions that make any alternative impossible to justify economically. The competitive pressure within the 12-volt ecosystem results in very specialized, very highly optimized designs that have now maximized the performance. The EVs we drive are incredible, and we want them at very cheap costs. And you know, I was looking only today at CarWow, and I see that the Dacia Spring has now dipped below £12,000 in the UK. Okay, it's like £11,990.
And that's a lot of money, don't get me wrong. If you haven't got 12 grand, I haven't got 12 grand sitting around to buy a new car, but that's still a lot of money. But equally, when you think about what goes in to building, designing a brand new electric vehicle and getting it on your driveway, shipping it halfway around the world as well, and it's less than £12,000, and the Spring is, you know, it's not the best EV in the world, but it's still an incredible cost reduction of where we are. £12,000, like $15,000 for a brand new city EV that will do a lot of people just fine. The competitive pressure in the ecosystem means that, well, there's just no margin to spare. The standardization of 12-volt systems extends beyond individual components as well. Think about testing. Think about safety protocols. Think about all the service training globally in the automotive industry. Think about regulations in various countries, states, regions, continents. Automotive technicians worldwide were all trained on 12-volt. Diagnostic equipment is all 12-volt. Safety procedures are optimized. Transitioning to another voltage would require one of the world's biggest retraining efforts in the history of the car industry. The economic analysis of transforming from a 12-volt system to a 48, it reveals complex trade-offs that extend far beyond the components. High-voltage systems offer advantages of efficiency, weight reduction, and performance. These are all the things that Tesla's arguing for, saying the industry needs to move on and get itself updated. The practical costs of implementing these changes across the entire ecosystem, though, are enormous. For individual car makers, the costs of transition, re-engineering systems, wiring looms, harnesses, I should call them, really, redesigning them, validating the components, then updating their own manufacturing and training. Look, those costs, I suppose, yeah, I don't run a car company because I'm an idiot podcaster, but I would guess they have to be amortized across vehicle production volumes and programs, and the benefits would be have to be sufficient to justify somebody at the end of the day putting a signature on the bottom of the page and saying, all right, let's do it. The supplier ecosystem faces even greater challenges, and investments in new manufacturing capability have to be justified. And boy, do we have no certainty at the minute in the EV world, with tariffs one minute and tariffs gone the next. Suppliers can't economically transition to some magical new higher voltage system without commitments from major automotive customers, but car makers are reluctant to commit to a new system without there being an established supplier network out there that wants to go and do it. Like I say, the old getting the catalogue out and what should we buy? Yeah, not much 48 volt stuff out there. Consumer acceptance represents another economic factor that influences designs. Consumers may not directly interact with it, but they're sensitive to vehicle reliability, service costs, availability of replacement parts. There might be an expensive replacement part. It might be a part that you either can't get or have to wait a long time for. Service infrastructure and parts availability for 12 volts, I think it's fair to say, it's all out there, and it would take years to replicate. Oh, I'll finish off by saying that the electrical systems operate within all these regulations in cars, and they vary by region, but they're all very, you know, specific in terms of safety requirements, electromagnetic compatibility, environmental standards. These regulations have evolved over decades, creating extensive documentation, testing, and certification as well. The safety implications of ditching 12-volt and moving forward, 12-volt systems are considered safe for consumer interaction. I mean, you can stick your tongue on a 12-volt battery and you'll know about it, but, you know, you can still live to fight another day. High-voltage systems introduce an additional level of risk that would need some modified service procedures, and these changes have cascading effects through the automotive supply chain as well. More I could go into on electromagnetic compatibility, but probably neither the time nor the place on this podcast. But before we go and then round out part one, because we're knocking on half an hour, sorry about that, is the Cybertruck. Tesla's introduction of the Cybertruck in 2023 was a watershed moment in automotive electrical system design, representing the first mainstream production vehicle to implement a comprehensive, if not complete, but comprehensive 48-volt low-voltage architecture. The decision, they said, wasn't merely an incremental improvement, but a fundamental reimagining it of how we should make electric vehicles for the decades to come. It challenged assumptions that had guided automotive engineering for 70 years. Well, the technical rationale for Tesla's 48-volt system centered on the physics of electrical power distribution and the specific challenges faced by EVs. Unlike internal combustion engine vehicles, EVs require electrical power for everything. So everything is electrical. Very little is mechanical. Braking, power steering, climate, cabin, it's all electrical. The power requirements for these systems, with weight considerations critical for EV efficiency, are compelling reasons to make the transition. Tesla's implementation focused on high power, frequently used components, where the benefits of going 48 volt are most pronounced. The Cybertruck's 48 volt system powers the radiator fans, the HVAC blowers, the power steering motors, of course it's steer-by-wire, the window motors, all components that draw, you know, a significant amount of current and operate regularly, have all been transitioned. By reducing the current requirements for those components by a factor of four, Tesla achieved substantial reductions in wire gauge requirements, leading to very significant weight savings and improved efficiency as well. The engineering challenge of implementing a 48-volt system extended way beyond simply just increasing the voltage, as I've explained. Tesla developed their own custom components for the Cybertruck, as the existing automotive supply chain offered some options, but they're limited. The vertical integration approach allowed Tesla to do what the industry did in the 1950s, and that was, well, be vertically integrated, to do it themselves, and to optimize the components designed for what vehicles of the era actually require. All right, we should call it a day there and end the podcast, and we'll do part one and put it in the books. And in 24 hours' time, I'll come back and I'll do part two. Why did Tesla go 48 volt with the Cybertruck? How did Tesla go 48 volt with the Cybertruck? And what were some of the challenges and solutions they faced? What's the advantage of doing it? What did they do to every other automotive CEO? They sent them something. But why were they ignored? And we'll do a final comparison of where we think the industry could, maybe should, go. Lots to discuss. That's only part one. Zoinks, Scoob. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.